making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm very happy we're looking at trying to upgrade our club any way we possibly can. He's been playing extremely well for an extended time period. He's been hitting well. He's a winning type player. He's a very good defensive player, still good instincts. And we think he makes us a better ball club because he goes into second base as in a spot where he can play basically every day. He's a good offensive player and a good defensive player. So we think he makes us a better club.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Dan Shaughnessy with us. Ian Kinsler, now a member of the Boston Red Sox. Going down late last night. Just heard the info there from Sarge, and you've been hearing about it this morning. Dan, did you see this one coming? What do you make of this?
I did not see it coming. I like it. And again, I don't know much about the two people that they got rid of. We don't know much about their system in general because there's not a lot there. You find out later what you gave up. But clearly, defensively, this tightens them up a little bit. Because the Nunez Holt thing, it's limited there, and it has been all year. Oddly enough, Kinsler, I think, played in college with Pedroia. I think they were at Arizona State together. And I've always liked him as a player. I know his offensive numbers aren't what they were. He's 36 years old. Evidently, he's been good since the All-Star break. He's been hitting a little bit there. And I think Zoe said it, but I think a guy like this, coming to a winning team, veteran status, surrounded by better guys in the lineup, better offensive threats, you see better pitching, and probably get inspired, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a factor for them. I think it's a good pickup along the lines of a commodity,
as far as a young guy that you got to hurry up and get him going, and is he going to blend well in this environment? This guy's been around the big leagues and shouldn't be fazed too much by Boston.
Right, and I think that one of the unintended things, the Devers injury actually forced them to do something in the infield, which they've been looking to do all year. So you'll probably see Nunez and Holt in some sort of rotation at the third base spot until Devers gets back. And while this guy is I would think he'd play a lot at second just because defensively it's such an upgrade. The pitchers will like it.
Well, you say that, and I'm like, how much of an upgrade could he be? And first with the offense, you're right. He's batting .239 this year. He has 13 home runs and 32 RBI. But defensively, Jim Louth just stumbled across this. Chris Mazin said, according to DRS.
Oh, boy.
Who?
DRS, don't you know?
The doctors. Oh, is that not what it stands for?
I thought it was a metric.
It is. According to DRS, defensive, what is it, Jim? DRS?
Yeah. Defensive runs saved.
Whatever. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Ian Kinsler has been how many runs better than Red Sox baseman in the field this season?
Many runs better.
26 runs better.
That's the first thing I thought of when I signed him. I'm like,
take that.
That's the guy that's like 20-some runs better defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you really need cooking right now with the 75-win baseball team.
Well, guess what? When you can only score one run a game. When you score one run a game, you got to wait until the 12th or 13th inning before you score a second or third run. You may need that extra one of those 26 runs every once in a while. But
to support your point real quick.
Okay.
This team has not played a winning baseball team for an entire month.
Yes,
that's last night was the first time. So now all of a sudden you get a pretty decent team, and this is the problem that could creep up in the playoffs, and we've talked about this. Say you got a guy that you're opposing, goes out there and throws a gem for eight innings, like you got four hit last night when they took him out. Then you got a guy come in and throw smoke. Now all of a sudden you start to get a little nervous. Like, you got J.D. Martinez swinging out of his shoes on some stuff. But this is the problem that could arise in the playoffs, and what pieces are you adding? This type of guy. What are you going to do to address the eighth inning issues? So you've addressed sort of adding depth, a veteran-type bat, a guy that's not going to leak down his leg, so to speak. You got to figure out something for that eighth inning now, too.
Well, that's
a decent team you played last night that came into your building and took you 13 innings.
You just reminded me of the other thing we had to talk to Dan about is the fact that Dave Dombrowski said...
The same Tampa, okay?
I don't think we're going to... I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't do anything else. I know a lot of people talk about our bullpen, but really? Dave Dombrowski said, I like our bullpen. Well, you do? You like your bullpen?
He's really hitching his wagon to Thornburg, who, looked better last night and has had a couple okay ones in a row. Kelly wasn't bad 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whenever that was against the Twins. So
it's a sucky team.
Yeah, right.
I'd like your bullpen, too, in the postseason when you can throw a couple of starters in there.
I can't wait to see a bullpen next four games you play at home.
I love a bullpen that's got a couple of starting rotation guys in there that can come in the seventh and eighth. But in terms of, like, how it stands right now, as you get the Yankees coming up and stuff like that, I don't think they're in any danger necessarily. But to say that you like the bullpen, that to me sounds like he's trying to sell us something there.
Well, he's got to say that. He likes his team. They get Arrieta tonight. That'll be fun. And I did anybody watch the game closely last time? I mean, they're Nola.
I was at a concert. I watched the end of it.
Boy, they're the right hander they had he had no hit stuff.
Save it for noon.
Okay.
Not hard.
I will save it for noon. Okay, Dan's leaving at noon.
Of course. Yeah. Well, no, Dan said he's doing his dates at noon.
Well, just before.
Well, you got to say that on Twitter.
Tweet. Very descriptive in your tweet.
If you're gonna be tweeting the rundown of the show, we would appreciate
some. Dan's date's at 11:50, baby.
Attention to accuracy. Treat those tweets like you're reporting.
Well, I'm assuming they'll be tuning in early so they don't miss it.
You missed so many dates last week.
Really? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Whose birthday did you miss?
Out the door. Yeah, I remember that.
Was it Bobby Orr's birthday you missed?
No, I didn't miss that.
Yeah, you did. You missed it 1 week.
Not.
Yes, you did. I think he turned 70.
Yeah.
The bigger picture for Ian Kinsler, what does it mean for the Red Sox at second base? What does this mean overall? Obviously, I think the number one thing it means is we are not seeing Dustin Pedroia again for a long time.
No, I think that this year's over, and boy, I really hope his career's not over, but he's confident he'll play, but I think the notion of this year is that ship sailed.
Here's Kinsler's name too. You forget that whole world baseball classic thing too, where he was critical of the way Puerto Rican and Dominican players had been brought up, and he says, we were raised a certain way, and whatever way you wanted to take his comments, and I know he sort of tried to tap dance his way out of that, but he was front and center there getting criticized for that. So I just wonder how he's going to fit with everybody.
I'll tell you exactly what he said. This was to the New York Times back in March of 2017 during the World Baseball Classic.
What we liked about the World Baseball Classic was how excited these teams got during it.
A lot of emotion.
Yep.
He said, I hope kids watching the WBC can watch the way we play the game and appreciate the way we play the game as opposed to the way Puerto Rico plays or the Dominican plays.
That was Alex Cora's team, too, by the way.
That's right.
All right.
His one gig managing before he got the Red Sox job.
Yeah.
That's not taking anything away from them.
Maybe we send Ben Volen over to ask that question tonight.
Hey, who's the guy who keeps the clubhouse loose? Because I'm going to get the Puerto Rican flag and sticking that in his locker.
Well, it used to be Pedroia, but
he's in Arizona. He said, that's not taking anything away from them. Oh, of course, no offense. That's just not that just wasn't the way we were raised. They were raised.
What does it mean?
I don't know, but it gets better.
Hey, be boring, boy.
They were raised differently, and to show emotion and passion when you play, we do show emotion, we do show passion, but we just do it in a different way.
So he's saying that American parents tell their kids don't get excited when you do something really, really good in sports.
Well, it's the baseball way.
I know, which makes it boring.
Don't show up your opponent. Act like you've been there before.
Right. Okay, so he clarified later. He said, what I said was that American kids can watch American players play. Puerto Rican kids can watch Puerto Rican players play.
Oh, so he really clarified that.
I don't know.
Want that division.
He hasn't made it better.
You guys watch you, we'll watch us. That's all.
Hasn't made it better yet. Venezuelan kids can watch Venezuelan guys play.
Oh, my God.
And that's who they emulate. That's who they watch. That's who they want to be like. There's nothing wrong with an American kid watching a Puerto Rican player and wanting to be like them, or a Puerto Rican kid watching an American player and wanting to play that way. You should play the way you want. And the way you feel will put you in the best position to win. Everybody's different. I play differently than a lot of my teammates. I play with a little more emotion than most players during the season. Everybody has their own style. That's all I was saying.
That's all he was saying. Aren't you glad there wasn't Twitter when he was in high school?
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure what he was saying.
I don't think he knows what he's saying here. But he said, you watch your way, we'll watch our way. It's okay for us to watch you.
You act out.
I have no clue.
I do what I want to do. You worry about yourself. I don't know that he'll be asked about that again.
I'm going to the Cape. I told you.
Hey, whatever you do, don't get in water down there. because they're out there.
I have no fear.
Dan does not impress me as a frolicking in the water type
of
cape goer.
Well, look at the skin. I mean, I can't.
He looks like a seal.
So why are you going? Why are you going? You hate the summer. You hate the sun.
There's family stuff going on down there.
Oh, all right.
What are you going to do? Go down there and sit next to an air conditioner? One of those units?
Read papers. Read papers.
Read papers.
Watch ESPN.
Do you go to the beach? Do you
I sit hope it's under, so windy outside.
Do you sit under an umbrella?
No, not necessary.
You voling in McBride to get one of those, what do you call those, Airbnbs?
I have a vision.
We do not tan.
Yeah, Reese. Yeah. A vision right, of, Reese isn't a globe guy anymore. I keep forgetting.
We miss him.
God, can you picture Dan at the end?
Should have a crib.
On the beach like the Abominable Snowman in the Bugs Bunny cartoon at the end when he ends up in the desert. And, gosh, it's hot. He's just kind of melting and withering away.
You think Felga was covered up with those napkins while he was in Nantucket? You should see me at the beach with the towels everywhere.
When you're at the beach, Dan?
No exposure.
When you're at the beach, Dan, do you feel like a snow cone in Phoenix?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just melting.
And you know, when we were kids, no one put any sunblock on you.
A snow cone in Phoenix.
It just melts.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah.
Not a snow cone here where it's 91.
You know, I don't
like a snow cone in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Gems like that are only they only come about because Dan Shaughnessy is here, and that's only because he's brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. Thank Mohegan Sun for that Mike Sarge Riley comment about Dan being a snow cone in Phoenix.
Cheap Irish skin.
You could have let it go. It could have been over with.
I'm up to it. You can add another one.
It could have been done. How about Bryce Harper being available? You have any thoughts on that, Dan? Don't share him yet, do you?
I love that Cleveland was talking about him.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, we'll talk more about that, and we'll hear about everything that happened at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
There was one guy there that a lot of people didn't want there and didn't think should be getting in. I think you were on the right side of history on this one. Guys like Tony Maserati were on the wrong side. We'll talk about that as we continue.
Sure.
Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is nice, Jim.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone. Sailing on the cool and bright clear water.
Is this for anything?
It's a little river band. Shut up.
A lot of talk about Dan going to the Cape, I figured.
That's a like rock song.
You have this on your iPod? You have an iPod?
I might.
Do you have one of those cassette ones where you put the cassette in, put the big head
the A-tracks?
Yeah, he's got a disc, that. Man.
Shh, it's a good part right here.
Time for...
Guess we're waiting.
Cool change.
I know
that it's time for a cool change.
Can we do the show now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get me excited. I start thinking
about
that
a request?
No, a little yacht rock. Well, you're going to the Cape.
Yeah.
And we start playing yacht rock when we start talking about the Cape or when there's a shark attack coming.
We do have two shark stories to share today.
Well, of course we do. It's the year of the shark.
Yeah, Zoe made a prediction that there's going to be an episode.
A very specific prediction. A cocky North Shore man
dressed in a Celtic shirt
will be on vacation
with the Patriots 5-time Super Bowl champion hat on backwards.
And
David Ortiz number 34 tattooed on his fat left calf on the back.
And I think you should go Cape and not the islands.
Cape.
Okay, renting a house on the Cape, not the Vineyard
cheap
or Nantucket.
Cape, but it's cheap Cape.
And
I don't want to get into the towns that are cheap Cape, but it's going to happen later in the summer because I think you get the dumber people down there then. I don't mean it that way. Never mind.
Yeah.
You mean like more irresponsible?
Like eight idiots are going to group together and pay for a beach house that none of them fit in.
Okay.
Or sleep in. Yeah. Probably sleeps maybe four.
Sure. The
they're
same
ruin the house. The people that own the house and rent it out are going to get pissed. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep the security deposit because there's going to be blood from the shark attack victim. And they're going to be like, we're going to Cape. We're going to get drunk. And we're going to float out there sealed. I don't care if it's seals or sharks. We're going to Cape. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And his permanent address will be somewhere on the North Shore.
Malden, Billerica. What else up there? Redding.
Lynn.
Redding.
Merrimack Valley.
North Shore.
Oh, Merrimack Valley. That's not North Shore.
No, but that's
how about
up there.
How about Danvers? There, yeah. How about Danvers?
Saugus.
My point is it's the people that normally don't know the water. And that's where you get yourself in trouble.
Wakefield.
Yes. Those people on the North Shore, they're like Iowans. They just have no idea how to handle the ocean.
What are you doing
ocean.
Down here? Look at you, Yankees up there.
So that's Zoe's prediction. We were going to talk about Bryce Harper, but Sarge just informed me as we went to break, he is now not on the table, according to the GM.
That's
just
correct.
Okay. But I would love to see him as an Indian.
Tito. Imagine Tito and Bryce Harper.
Put him with Tito.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be fun. The contract that it's been talked about for well over a year now that he is going to be due is going to be. And Dan, I'm telling you, this is something that is going to be pushing the envelope of making people tap out and not want to watch anymore. If he gets the type of money that they're talking about he could get, it is going to be such an obscene amount where it does diminish the pleasure of just watching the game. If you're talking about a $400 million contract, which is, it's been talked about.
Well, and I just wonder if his value is holding because, you know, he's not having a year at the plate. He's hitting some home runs, but his average is way down. I don't know where this is going to go. And people are, the Chris Davis thing's got to be burning a lot of people. I realize the skill sets are different. Harper's a way better, you know, always was than Chris Davis. But that thing, they're on the books for $160 million still, and this man cannot foul a ball off. I mean, it is like over. That's just going to scare the hell out of you.
All right. Do you want to talk about the Hall of Fame now? Do you have some stories for us?
I will do. This is your show. I will do whatever you say. I was there
like, really, like, I don't care who got in, but I care more about your stories. Like, anything
weird
happened?
Zoe and I had fun a couple years ago, and I came back. We were doing the whole thing. And
talk about that. Like, you had that breakfast that one year. It was one person singing karaoke, and it was Wade Boggs. Yeah. And there were, like, only three people in the room at the time.
So, well, let's back up for a second. Number one, Jack Morris gave his speech and everything this year. How was he inducted? On what ballot was he in?
Okay, so he did not pass the muster with the writers. He never got the 75% of the writers' vote.
Did you vote for him?
I did. I was a believer. He's borderline. It was like Blylevin for me. Just a guy that I still value wins. His ERA was a little high. And, you know, he won more games than anyone in the 80s, all that stuff.
You're on the right side of history on this one, Dan. I mean, to me, it's...
You know, the 91 Game 7, I know that was another team, but, yeah.
He got the ball on opening day for, I don't know, 13 straight years for two or three different teams. He was, and again, this is me as a kid watching him. But to me, if Jack Morris isn't in the Hall of Fame, I don't understand who is, because to me, it's not a Hall of Stats. It's still about a fame. And you didn't get bigger than Jack Morris as a starting pitcher for many years, at least in my mind. So I understand it's skewed, but I'm happy to hear that it was
the Veterans
one
Committee.
There's
a 16-man committee, X actually on it, and it's a different group of executives and stat guys and players. And you need three-quarters of that, too. You got to get 12 of their votes, and they can only vote for, like, four guys. It's hard to do.
Okay.
And he and Trammell both get in on that ballot. Trammell never got as close as Jack. Jack got close in the writer ballot.
Trammell guys just liked. They understood he wasn't the caliber of player that normally gets in the Hall of Fame, but I think people like Alan Trammell.
Yep, good numbers. The middle infield is always tricky, and that's why Lou Whitaker was there. You'll be happy to hear, and he was very gracious about not being part of this, but he was there, and he was very supportive.
Sweet.
And his numbers are very good, very comparable to Trammell. You get into these comps, and it's very tricky, but... No disgrace in those guys being there. I guess personally because I like them. And the Trammell story I had was in 1987. I don't know. He's from San Diego, and we got sort of friendly. And I got him tickets to the Celtics Lakers. He wanted to see the old Garden and Magic and Larry. It's a good wish. And he was a baseball player with a lot of money. And he flew 3,000 miles for one game and flew back. And it happened to be a game. The Lakers won at 115-114, Magic hit a banked in one at the buzzer on a winter night, and Alan Trammell flew 3,000 miles for that game. So,
I used to play him in RBI baseball when I was in Maryland. Yeah. So that's how I remember him. What really intrigues me is the Jack Morris discussion. Like, you think about the cookies on the sweet spot. Like, Hardy, what were his prime years? Like, when that guy was in his prime, can you take us there?
It was a long time.
What were the prime years for Jack Morris?
I would say 1984. I mean, the number one prime year for the Detroit Tigers. What are you trying to? You're
What's
setting
the number one song then.
Every tune is going to be a hot and happening one.
That was 1987. That's 3 years after.
Oh wow!
As bad as that sounds, that was 3 years after
the 84 for alteration. 89.5 FM WAHS.
All right, the 84 Tigers started 35-5.
Whoa, hold on, Dan. It's cool biz.
I don't know what he's talking about.
That's Hardy.
That's me and my high school radio station.
Oh, really?
In the '80s.
Jim, please. Dan thought we're just playing random sound drops of like
old that.
Guy.
That's Hardy. Station for alteration, 89.5 FM WAHS. Cool biz. Now, okay. It's 7, 10, and 1 minute.
Sounds like Sarge. 7,
I'll pull my public access tape for you.
What were you saying about 1985, Dan?
Tigers started 35-5, but they only won 104 games. They ran the table, and the Red Sox were on a pace to win, like, I think 112 or 14 right. or something. I mean, this is like so that they would be, like, dust off the Tigers by, like, 10 wins.
I remember my grandfather was a lot like you, a lot like a lot of you. I think he was a Bostonian in a former life because my grandfather saying that year in 85, they're not going to keep this up. They're going to end up blowing it. And they did. All right. So when did you get to the Hall of Fame this past weekend?
I drove there Friday morning.
Is it different now that you are a Hall of Famer? Do you get treated differently?
Everybody's very nice. And
he's allowed to stay in a hotel just down the street.
Exactly.
But they give him a pass to the big one that he can use and go to at any time.
And there's no public allowed in the Otisaga Hotel unless you have a pass. So it's just the people with the passes and them. And, you know, nobody bothers them. No one gets autographs. It's just normal, except they're all Hall of Famers. There were 57 there this year, I believe. So on Saturday night, I went back, and it was just hard to – I was in the lower bar, and Wade Boggs was there. Shocker.
Shocking.
Know, and you know,
for
and,
either awesome. One of you.
And I was up for it. So, Zoe, you'll like this. I talked to Boggs.
You have a high ball? A
good long time. He pounds the light beers. You know, he's just good. And he told me, you'll like this.
Yeah.
When he graduated high school in 1976, and he was a quarterback up until his senior year, and Johnny Majors came to recruit him. And he said, well, you know, we'd like to have you be one of our quarterbacks. You won't have to do much because we got a really good running back. You'll be handing the ball off all the time. And it was Tony Dorsett.
Shut up.
Yeah. And Matt Kavanaugh was they
Matt
won
Kavanaugh's
the
Pitt.
They won the
1976.
That's where Johnny Majors was. They won the national championship, and they recruited Wade Boggs.
Had Hugh Green as a defensive end.
Opted to go to baseball. That's according to Wade. And so,
wow.
So his senior year, his dad said, "You know what? You're going to play baseball." And he just kicked. He didn't play quarterback his senior year, which is a smart thing. He's going to sign a baseball contract, and he became a punter and a place kicker. So. Johnny Majors, Pitt, recruiting Wade Boggs. You got to like that.
That's awesome.
You get that kind of stuff.
That's how you bring Zoe back in on a baseball conversation.
I know.
Johnny Majors. Get something football related.
Tony Dorsett had those tearaway jerseys, man. Just ripped the jersey and he just keep running.
And went over to talk to Johnny Bench, who was sitting by himself over in the corner of the bar having a margarita. And I just wanted to talk about the old days. There was this great picture of Louis Tiant and Johnny Bench, 75 World Series.
Somebody ordered a margarita upstate New York.
You say that Johnny Bench, it's like a werewolf drinking a pina colada. Johnny Bench drinking a margarita at Trader Vic's.
Wouldn't it be great if George Brett showed up and talked about a headache?
He was in the room. He was on the other side of the room.
Great. Steak that one night, and he had to take a in the bathroom, and he went to the casino and asked for the towels.
This is what it's like. And you know, Raleigh Fingers is with his date on the other side of the room, you know, and the band's playing. And, you know, just a lounge band.
Didn't like feel this. Like... Didn't
and then, like,
like
Hank Aaron, like, walks out of the room, like, we're all there. It's just like...
With the shag carpet on top of the amps. Everything.
Like that scene in The Shining when Jack Nicholson goes in and he's in the bar and he's talking to the barkeep and then all of a sudden everybody starts dancing and...
Yeah.
I'm having a party here with all these ghosts.
was that the Lake Otisaga Hotel?
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful there.
It is like, it's, and again, porch. It's just, oh, my God, the rocking chairs and a porch.
Oh, I love it.
Looking out over the lake.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Why don't you go there?
I've been there. Yeah, it's great. It's
awesome. No, he means right now.
Cool. Oh, yeah, cute.
Yes.
2 o'clock.
Sorry.
Okay. Nice, pal.
Good times.
Nice. Wait. More baseball and Dan's dates coming up. Dan Shaughnessy with us here on.
And your calls next.
And your calls. Thank you, Zoe. Thank you.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox and the Phillies close out their series tonight at Fenway Park after last night's 2-1 13-inning win for the Red Sox. Compliments of a Blake Swihart walk-off double. Tonight, the Red Sox go for their fifth straight win. Drew Pomeranz against Jake Arrieta at 7:05. And the Major League Baseball trade deadline is today at 4 o'clock. Last night, Dave Dombrowski and the team made a trade with the Angels for 36-year-old second baseman Ian Kinsler.
I'm very happy. We're looking at trying to upgrade our club any way we possibly can. He's been playing extremely well for an extended time period. He's been hitting well. He's a winning type player. He's a very good defensive player, still good instincts. And we think he makes us a better ball club because he goes into second base is in a spot where you can play basically every day. He's a good offensive player and a good defensive player, so I think he's makes us a better club.
And the Sox sending minor league pitchers Williams Jerez and Ty Buttrey to the Angels. Kinsler expected to be in Boston later today. He'll be your primary second baseman for the remainder of the season. Yahoo Sports reporting that the St. Louis Cardinals have traded outfielder Tommy Pham to the Tampa Bay Rays. And despite reports of the Nationals initially saying that Bryce Harper would be on the trade block, general manager Mike Rizzo put an end to that rumor and innuendo, telling the Washington Post today that would not be happening. Patriots have an off day today, back at training camp tomorrow. Last night they had their season ticket holders in stadium practice. And the Vikings and receiver Stephon Diggs have agreed to a 5-year extension. Headlines are brought to you by the Big 3 Tournament. See former All-Stars, Hall of Famers, and World Champions at the TD Garden Friday, August 3rd at 7 p.m. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. I'm Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatle Dan Shaughnessy here. Dan, you were at the Hall of Fame this weekend. You wrote that the Red Sox were the talk of the hall. Everybody talking about the Red Sox while you were there. Is that right?
Well, you just like to try to localize when you go to an event like that where there's no Red Sox being inducted, six guys, and just what the connections are to Boston. And I just, you know, we're talking to Pedro when I got there Friday, and he was really bullish on this team because not everybody, you know, I've had my doubts and let's see how they do in October and all this. And Pedro said, I think within the MLB studios that they'd done some comps on the lineup. And he said this lineup is marginally better than our lineup in 04. Yeah, that was David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, Johnny Damon, Billy Miller was batting champ. I mean, that was, you know, Veritek.
I understand so the argument on
that's,
paper.
That's saying something.
I understand that argument on paper, and you can formulate the opinion. You can formulate the statistics to support that type of a take. But honestly, you look at that lineup in that year, man. That
the
team
special.
Was a wagon. They were stacked. I know they we call special. This team a wagon, but they played in that era when everybody had a chance, where there were teams that were viable contenders, you know, within whatever league you were playing, American or National League. It's not like the entire league stinks and it's a three-team race.
Right.
You know?
That's what we're seeing now.
I think that's part of what the product is being shown today.
Oh my God, it's been bothering me the whole year, and that's why I enjoyed last night's game, because you had a first place team in town with a 10 games over 500 record. Okay, again tonight, that kid last night, Nola, and this Arrieta tonight, you got legitimate. These are not meatball artists, so you're just bashing the hell out of them, and it's like a big laugh for every night. So no one hates winning. I mean, you're 42 over. That's just ridiculous, and it's a pace I've never seen anything like.
No, but it's also how you win, too. And when you get stuck in these type of moments, there's something to be said about this team this year, because there have been games like this that have been extended, and they find ways to win. And that's a character. It's an indicator of what type of character a team has. And you sort of develop that. You're not born with it. You're not given it. You sort of have to go out and earn it. This team has done it every time they've been put in that spot.
It is.
And that's what's impressive.
Yeah.
Because maybe if it gets tight in September or – you know, who knows if the Yankees are going to catch you. But say that race gets tight, you're going to have confidence about this team in the end, because you got enough guys that have proven throughout the course of the entire year, and it's a big sampling, that in tight games, late innings, you know, we talk about clutch and late with David Ortiz. You could write a freaking book on it. You probably have. That's important around here.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, we'll know more about them, but they may be able to put the Yankees away by the time I see you guys next week, because they're playing them four times. Well, that would be different. The Yankees sweep them, I think they'd be tied in the loss column. Big difference.
And here we go again.
If they sweep the Yankees, they're going to have a 10-game lead.
But that's how quick it can change.
Yeah. So, and they play them 10 more times. I'm looking forward to just see. I like this. I like last night's game. I like the Yanks coming into town. You know, again, playing some teams over 500, a little bit of pushback, and just the wins mean more. Last night's win means more. You beat a first-place team. You win 13 innings. You stuck it out. Those are good things.
All right, let's go to the phones. Mark in Medford, you're on with Zolak, Bertrand Hardy, and for Beatle. Dan's here. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Dan, yes, I agree, because I have a funny feeling like the Yankees are going to take this series, maybe sweep, even without Sanchez and Judge, okay? Let's see. And then what you said, they play the last 12 games of the season, six of them are against each other again, right?
Yes.
Okay. I still see the Yankees winning this division, and I still see the Red Sox playing in that one-game playoff, blowing Chris Sale out there and not having him for the first round of the playoffs if they make the first round of the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you're in that one-game thing. You know, if you're able to save them, you can lose your race. But, yeah, that's a lot of ifs there. And, again, when your team's six games behind, you know, the last day of July, that's never a good thing. And with as you say, Sanchez and Judge being hurt, they have gone to lengths to get pitching, though. They got the Twins guy last night, Hap's there. Britton's there. They made three pitching acquisitions, and they needed to do it, and that beefs up their
and
rotation.
It's nice, but it's like it's not enough to say, I feel that way. Well, you just laid out the scenario where it seems really implausible, and then to just say, well, I just feel it's going to happen.
Let's look at the facts here. Everybody thinks it's the most important series for the Yankees to at least dig into that lead. Look at it from the Red Sox perspective. You're at home. They don't have Judge. They don't have Sanchez. If you don't go out and take business against this team down south in your own ballpark to where you're rolling and you're feeling pretty damn good, and you come out of this and you give 3 out of 4,
yeah,
we're going to think a hell of a lot differently. As much as everybody's on this Red Sox train, and hey, what are you going to say about them? They win every night. They win every night. They could go out and give 3 away over the course of this weekend against a lineup that doesn't have 2 of their biggest bats in it, and we're going to feel a hell of a lot different about this team coming in here on Monday.
Yeah, it's interesting how everybody stocks
up. Is there pressure on the Red Sox because of who the Yankees have out?
I just think that the Yanks need to not fall out of this thing altogether. And if they come here and lose 3 or 4, they could be just
feels like they're out.
Playing for the one game thing. And if you can get away from that, it looks like Boston's starting to do it. That's a good thing. Also, watch out. Houston picked up another relief pitcher last night. The guy who's in trouble, Osuna. He's a closer. And Houston is loaded. New York will be loaded when they get their people back. Boston's loaded, and Cleveland's a sleeper. So we know where this is headed. The American League playoffs are going to be great.
Blair in Maine, you're on with Zolak and Bertram. What's going on? We love calls from Maine. What are you talking about, Zo? Go ahead, Blair.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Cracking. So you're okay with the trade then, right?
Yes, I am.
With the Kinsler trade?
Yes.
I think they should have gone and got a player that's worth more money. Am I not right?
Well, they're going the other way on the money. In fact, they got $1.8 million forgiven on that thing with Kinsler. So they're a little bit...
I totally got Zolak laughing right there. I saw him laughing.
You're trolling us.
I know.
Come on, Blair.
I don't know
what else you got today
about Kinsler. I mean, he's played for the Angels for the whole season. What am I going to say? They haven't done much.
You just like seeing your name on TV, don't you? Blair from Maine.
I don't know what else to say. Well,
what do you think of the Maine diner, Blair?
We didn't call you. You called us, which would indicate that you did have something to say.
I love when people call us and say, hey, thanks for having me on your show.
We had one earlier today that said, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
I didn't know T-Bone was back there calling people.
Intern.
Yeah.
Good intern.
That's it.
We Blair in Maine once a week, right? We said that last week.
That's it.
That was his one call.
Unless he had some. Set up in there.
He called every day last week.
Oh, I didn't. Well, I wasn't here for a good portion of that.
Let's get it out of the way.
The size of Tom's head on TV. Ever been outside one of those tire places, you know, where the guy's standing there, the lumberjack, and the big guy holding the tires? You know, the big statue, the guy with no neck, and he's got that big jaw?
Well, Tom has been posing.
Like, you're calling Jack.
Just very, very subtly, whenever the camera cuts to the producer's studio, you'll see him reach back and flex his tricep muscle. It's gorgeous.
Hey, you need me to get that piece of paper there?
It's a thing to behold. Let me tell you something.
Is it over there?
Ladies and gentlemen, you could do a lot worse.
So. Sun's out, guns out.
Thank you, Sarge. Dan's date's coming up. And Dan, Beatles' edict is that you do not tip one way or the other as to how the dates are.
Day?
This is not my edict.
Good or bad,
so
Dan.
I would like to know. Is this
good or bad?
How's the date?
They're okay.
Oh!
Yeah.
How's that?
It's good.
How's that for a tease?
Zolak and Bertram on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertram.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
If you're Dapper Dan.
If you're watching on the NBC Sports simulcast, the graphic of...
It's so true to form. I mean,
yeah.
That actually happened.
It's Dan dressed as a soda jerk.
That's what I was.
He's a jerk, all right.
Old-timey soda jerk behind the counter just serving up pearls of wisdom about this date in history.
So Ben Bolin right next to me, serving him up, too.
Yeah, he's under the desk.
Can I, how about another egg cream down there? Doesn't have any egg in it. Yeah. Don't know why we call it
Step
that.
Step on it there, mittens.
Or any cream, for that matter. All right, so this date, what do you have for us?
Do you have white socks on, or those your ankles?
Today is July 31st. Birthday is today. Gary Lewis. All right.
Jerry Lewis, you mean?
Gary Lewis, who is the son of Jerry Lewis.
Oh, really?
You say that. He was the lead singer in Gary Lewis and the Playboys. It was a band.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Gary Lewis. William Weld. How old do you think the old governor is, the ex-governor?
Bill Weld? Oh, God.
71.
73.
Ooh. Oh, very good.
He was present the day Bob Kraft bought the New England Patriots in 1994. Right. He was at the press conference.
Jumped in the Charles River, too.
Yes, he did. Another ex-governor, Deval Patrick, is 62 today. Mark Cuban. How old do you think Mark Cuban is?
53.
61.
60. It's a big one for him. Yep. Wesley Snipes. Anybody care to guess there?
58.
55.
57.
56. You're all around it.
Closest without going over, I went.
Who's heard of Fat Boy Slim?
Me.
Oh, sure.
He's, he's 55 today.
Check it out.
No idea who that is.
Soul brother.
You know Bradley J? You know Bradley J from the back in the WBCN days? Bradley J is on the Fat Boy Slim record. He's taken a caller on the old BCN, and they somehow got a copy of the call before the record came out, and they put it on the Fat Boy Slim record.
Okay.
You've come a long way, baby.
That's good. Yeah. Zach Brown is 40 today.
Wow.
Born on this date, no longer with us, Kurt Gowdy, 99 years ago.
Did he do the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat?
Nope. That was Y World of Sports' Jim McKay.
That's right.
On this date in, let's see, in 2005, Wade Boggs was inducted into the Hall of Fame on this date. On this date,
14 years he's been going back to that hellhole.
Yeah. On this date, 1959, Earl Wilson became the first African-American pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
I was going to say Beach Boys.
Shortly after Pumpsy Green played middle infield for the Sox, Earl Wilson pitched 3.2 innings against the Tigers. On this day.
I thought maybe Earl been one of the Wilsons.
Yeah, could have been.
Other stuff that happened on July 31st in 1964, the American space probe Ranger 7 reached the moon, transmitting photos back to Earth. At least we think it did. Check with Kyrie Irving on that.
What's that new space force we just developed?
We found water on Mars, man. Yeah. Okay, on this date, 1972, Democratic vice president candidate Thomas Eagleton withdrew from the ticket with George McGovern, following disclosures that he had undergone psychiatric treatment. That was a no-no in 1972. It knocked him off the ticket.
Oh.
He was replaced by Sergeant Shriver after Kevin White, the mayor of Boston, was considered for that position. On this date in 1991, July 31st, President George H.W. Bush and Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev signed the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty in Moscow. On this date in 2008, scientists reported that the Phoenix spacecraft had confirmed the presence of frozen water in Martian soil. And we just found a whole lake of water in Mars.
I don't want to get into a big thing here, but like, you know, the basis for life, and it's like, oh, that means they could sustain life.
Yeah.
Life as we know it. Who's to say that life doesn't exist on some other planet without the presence of oxygen or water or carbon or something? Like life by our definitions.
Right.
So I'm open to a lot of possibilities.
Fair. On this date, Hardy, in 1966, on this date, it was a burning of Beatle albums in Alabama because John Lennon had said we were more popular than Christ.
Yeah, he said we're bigger than Jesus.
It was a big pushback on that. It was really frowned upon. A lot of baseball on this date. Number one is the strike of 1981 ended after 50 days. That was a big part of that one.
What would people do without it?
They had to... we went to minor league games. That was the year that Pawtucket played the 33-inning game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
1981. Other baseball stuff on this date. The All-Star game was at Fenway Park in 1961. It ended in a 1-1 tie because of rain. Rocky Colavito of the Tigers hit a home run to the American League.
On July 31st, All-Star game?
I know. They had two. Huh? They used to do two in the midsummer. It was a weird thing. They did that for a few years.
Interesting.
Other baseball stuff, of course. We know that today is the trading deadline. Therefore, a lot of trades were made on this date, including 1997 when Dan Duquette, major coup, acquired Jason Veritek and Derek Lowe for Seattle's Heathcliff Slocum, or I say he sent them the other way. So he got those two guys from Seattle for Heathcliff Slocum. That was a high yield.
trade for the Boston Red Sox.
As they say in Dances with Wolves, good trade.
Very good trade.
Tecumseh.
And on this date in 2004.
Tatanka.
Tatanka.
He was a good wrestler.
Young, used to get Tonka trucks and footballs for Christmas.
On this date in 2004, young Theo Epstein dealt Nomar Garciaparra.
Oh, yes.
Wow. And the Red Sox were in Minnesota. It was a great scene on this one because Nomar hated the media. But he was doing the phony goodbye with everyone when he was leaving the clubhouse because he hated everyone by that point. He hated his teammates, hated the management, of course hated the media. He started hugging everybody, and he went down a line of hugging like Boston media guys. And then there was a Minnesota media guy, and he hugged that guy thinking he was a Boston guy.
I had no idea.
So what
he had no idea. He had no idea.
Did you get a hug?
So I was not there.
Okay.
I was at the Cape.
You were at the Cape. who hates the beach, you spent a lot of time.
I wrote about it. That was a big deal. Theo Epstein took the first Ambien of his life that night.
Abraham have to change his pants after that one?
I was going to be greeted on Sunday morning's newspapers, which mattered back then. And it was greeted well, and the team, it took about 10 days to respond, and then they kicked it in and beat everybody after that.
Doug Minkiewicz and, who was it, Orlando Cabrera,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yes, it was and Dave Roberts.
And Dave Roberts, that's right,
They tightened up the defense, a lot of guys that really mattered for that team. The last item I have for this date, and it's a baseball item as well, it's also a very important item to all of us, it was this date 4 years ago that the Ice Bucket Challenge was launched by Pete Frates on Facebook.
One. That's a good one.
July 31st, 2014.
Excellent.
That is July 31 for all of you.
Excellent. A couple of things
more?
Here.
One more trade?
I got a big one.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I got a real big
one. Sarge probably has the same one I have, yeah.
In 2008, Jim?
Yep.
Yeah. Eric Gagne was acquired by the Red Sox. And also, it was the day the Celtics signed Kevin Garnett.
That'd be 2007.
Why are you stressing your words?
Yes, 2007. Excuse me.
Yeah. 2008, Manny trade.
Sorry, Jim.
Manny shot his way out of town.
You didn't have Jimmy Hoffa?
Was
this the day he
What was Manny brought
missing?
Him?
Okay, so I think the last day he was seen alive was maybe the 30th.
2000.
He went, reported missing on July 31st, but that was a big one. That was from a restaurant where my father was a bartender. The Red Fox, Bloomfield Township.
Wasn't
Michigan.
He entombed in the end zone of the Meadowlands?
They don't know. They never found him. Mm. They don't know. That's one of the, it's a mystery. It's like Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super
thank
Bowl.
Thank you. Could have used that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very similar.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right,
thanks,
Dan.
Guys.
See you, buddy.
Have fun. See you next week.
Sounds like Dan's going to be back here maybe on Friday doing a little morning show action.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that is true.
Okay, good.
8 o'clock with Toucher and Rich or whoever's here.
Right. Very good.
I'll be here.
Time to get weird.
Thanks.
All right. What'd you do last night, Zoe? Don't say.
We're going to play a little game next.
What did you do last night?
What did you do last night?
There's at least three people who had very different experiences going on last night.
Sports related.
Sort of. Yeah. Two of them. Anyway, we'll kick it around and see what's what with all of our activities. 90 seconds, no commercials. Sarge with the Hub headlines.